Get your tissues ready. Call the Midwife Returns, and we will break down our breakdown in just a second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, there it is. Welcome back. Okay. Tamara's crying. Courtney's crying. Our tears have dried. All right, so we've had the season opener, the premiere episode. We've also had the Christmas show. We'll talk the Christmas show first. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, we've missed you all.
Yes, we have. It's been so long. Yes, yes. My tear ducts have finally recuperated. Took 9 months for it to happen, but we're back.
Let's remind everybody who we are.
Who are you?
Why don't we introduce ourselves?
Hey, it's Tamara Bird.
Hi, guys. It's Courtney Stewart.
And I'm John, just John. And you can't find me anyway.
John is nowhere.
Exactly.
But here.
So we had the Christmas episode, and we want to talk about that first, then we'll get into episode one because we didn't get a chance to get together during the holidays to do that. But you can't not talk about it because it was an amazing episode and very well received.
Oh my gosh. one of the things that's great is that it aired here in the U.S. on Christmas as well. Yes. They finally figured that out.
Jeez, yeah. Amazing. With the technology we have today, we could actually do that.
Yeah.
Shocking.
U.S. fans still have to wait 3 months before the show comes on. But,
but in the meantime, we'll tag the Christmas episode now.
Yeah.
And we had a Christmas miracle, right?
It was a miracle.
We did. It's a Christmas miracle.
So we had, the worst winter in 300 years. Yes. I don't know how they figured that out, but apparently they did. There's frozen pipes. There's broken pipes. Broken toilets as well. Yes. We've had people dying from this. But the worst thing of all, they had no milk.
They had no milk.
Yes.
I love that they talked about
Milkgate.
The Milkgate, thank you.
Serious.
Because they had the milk delivery. They could go through the blitz, but they can't handle the snow.
No, they can't.
Can't handle the snow.
And I was thinking, were they in some way trying to unionize, or were they striking, or was it really just the snow?
We're just exhausted, John.
We're tired.
Yeah, but I just love the poor dilemma. Because you just can't have your tea. If England can't have its tea.
It never occurred to me how important the milk was for the tea. Like, I just was like, what are you using all this milk for?
I love how Fred explained it. Well, it's in the country. That's a community. The whole rollout. It is a whole dilemma. I don't even know how they got through it. But let's talk about the caravan couple.
Yes.
Linda and Zalwyn. Am I saying that right?
I thought it was Selwyn.
Selwyn? Okay.
Yeah.
The guy.
Whatever.
Her loving boyfriend.
With the middle name John.
Yes, of course. And because we had the snow, they had to close down the community center and the clinic, etc. So they're having a clinic in the bar. Exactly. Yeah. Val's aunts and everything. And so they come in, the young couple. We learned that they're not married. And it's not even his child. And he stepped up and decided that, no, I'm going to take care of you.
And she's got a fair amount of shame about
it. Oh, yeah.
Very shame. So, that's still
shameful.
Which is the makings of a great Call the Midwife episode.
And, of course, anybody who greets her is like, so that's one of our facts. Big deal. Let's move it along.
Yeah,
what's next?
Exactly. Yeah. But but I thought it was great because this is the first time we've really seen Val, have her own storyline.
Oh, yeah.
And immediately she's already in the mode of, because she sees we're all in the pub here. This woman's already embarrassed and stuff. Why don't I meet you wherever you are?
Let me make a house call.
Yeah, and they have to go. And then she's even ashamed about the caravan. And so we get all that. And then. And then the trip out there, and I'm going, they can't deliver milk, but she can ride a bike to a caravan.
Thank you.
Okay.
In the snow. Exactly. In a dress.
Exactly.
Goodness gracious.
But she makes it all the way out there. And then we learn all the rest of it, which is that she doesn't even, I'm getting my episodes mixed up.
I know, it's hard to do two at once.
So, help me out. Obviously, I was impressed that they have this guy who's willing to do this, and she still is unsure about the whole thing, whereas I guess others are just, come on, help
care of it. Take care of it?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
But that's not the way she's thinking about it.
So Valerie's gone a little bit too long, and the labor, so clearly this patient is, it's not just a home checkup, because that was what she had told the anesthetist, I'm just going to check up on you.
But she goes into labor 4 weeks early.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very hard labor. And we see, that old thing of you don't show the gun if you're not going to use it later in the...
yeah.
So early on, hot water bottles play a factor.
Yeah.
And he brings out the hot water bottle, or right. he fills up the hot water bottles.
Yeah.
Because Valerie's going to use them to relieve the pain.
Pain in
yeah,
exactly. the back.
Yeah. Warmth eases pain.
Yeah. And you know, and the delivery goes off, you know.
Relatively smoothly.
Yeah, like, no problems. No
problems. Yeah. Baby came out. Yeah,
exactly. And then it's like, uh-oh. Suddenly. And then, oh, she pulls the baby away and it's going, oh, man, really?
In that little
really?
Caravan.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. In that caravan. And I'm also going, it's the Christmas tree. I know. Really? That quickly? We're going to lose one already?
Yeah.
Okay. But okay, a couple things about that. You know, beyond this, the tragedy of the whole thing, the way she put the child in the valise.
Yeah.
And then the way she... held cradled the she didn't just the, grab it by her hands.
I was thinking that same thing. It's got handles, yeah, but she cradled
she
it. Yeah,
yeah. And it was like,
baby.
Yeah, it was a great choice. I don't know if she made that choice or whoever that yeah. was written into it or everything. I was just going, oh, that's great. Yeah. Great
and
stuff.
My favorite line, I'll take care of everything. It's what midwives do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the show. that's it should be the tagline for the entire show.
Yeah.
For every show.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. There are so many times in my life when I think back and do, what would a midwife do? you know, those moments of, okay. I'm sitting here crying thinking about it. Because I've said it from the very start. I'm going to continue to say it. Mm-hmm. Kindness and compassion in yeah. every scenario. In every scenario. And there it was just on full display. Kindness
oh, and even,
and compassion.
Even the man, Zellen, yeah, whatever Zellen. His name is.
Zellen.
Yeah, Zellen. He eats the bottle and he puts it in the bag. And you just think it's a great gesture and everything. Because, yeah. you know, I completely was like...
Oh, devastated. Wrecked,
yeah, just I didn't even consider that that might not be the case. Oh. And also the other image I thought that was wonderful, wonderfully cinematic, when she was carrying the valise up to Nanasa's house and she looks at it, then you see that nice shot of the light coming from above and all this other stuff. And I'm just going, man, they're really playing with the cinema.
They
it's
were
like,
doing it.
It was great, too. And it was like, and the music and everything. I was like, okay, I'm there. I'm with you. And then, of course, she hears the and the way she comes running in and everything, it's like, what? And I immediately went to, we got to get a Christmas miracle.
That's exactly what I said when I saw the light on. Yeah. I'm like, it's gonna
it's
be
a Christmas miracle.
But then I was worried because it's a Christmas episode. The baby already died, and now the baby's back. Now is it going to be something she did that was a problem? And all like, right. so they stressed me out a lot in that like one sequence.
And I also like when Julianne, you know, they called in Tom and everything, and you don't have to worry, you don't have to baptize the baby. And I thought that was a great moment too, because I was like, why? I wasn't exactly sure why they're bringing him in. That's how dopey I was. I didn't even get that part of it, but yeah, that makes sense.
You are such a lapsed Catholic.
I know, I am.
Yeah,
that's so bad.
I just want to go back one.
Yeah, go
while
on.
The baby was still dead in our minds, Trixie mm-hmm. was talking about the connection of mother to baby.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
talked about how he knew every beat of your heart.
Stupid. Just ridiculous. Yeah. No, again, so poignant. And again, in just small little moments. They really, for me, they did just such a great job on the small little moments in this one. You know, not that they always don't, but they certainly did this time. And then the other thing was how Valerie was taking it.
Yes.
And, you know, they're taking care of the child and all this other stuff, and she's on the steps, and Barbara comes to comfort her and stuff. And even before that, when she was talking to Monica Jones, she doesn't believe in God.
She doesn't believe in God. She's like, God is the extension of your hands, whatever the line was, because I don't have my notes, and I can't remember the exact quote.
The hands of the Almighty are so often to be found at the ends
of our own.
Yeah. It's like, that's a dumb line. Who wrote that?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
It was really beautiful.
It was great. And it came out of her again, because it's Monica Jones. There's some more weight to it because, you know, she's coming in and out of her awareness. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because she has kind of an otherworldly feel about her at all times.
And even her vernacular is an otherworldly, other timely thing.
Wait till I tell you some news segment.
She's going to die. I don't want to watch the rest of the season. Yeah. That better not be the rumor.
Yeah.
I have no facts. I just have information.
Yeah.
I think that was perfect for the Christmas special to have
storyline. And kudos to them. That's pretty gutsy.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they knew, since they knew that the baby wasn't going to die and everything like that. But that's a lot to put people through.
Yeah, you don't
want to
be going
in
Downton Abbey killing Matthew deal, having everybody pissed at you for the rest of the series.
Exactly.
And whose idea? I mean, they put them in that little baby caravan. Yeah. There's nowhere you can take the baby away from.
Kind of like a manger.
No room at the inn. Kind of. It's all that kind of stuff.
They pulled it all out.
Yeah, it's like, geez, how many different...
You really want us to suffer.
They did.
I watched the Christmas special a couple days after Christmas because I was traveling. And so I have to say, when I watched it again last night, I watched some of it in fast forward. So I'm not weeping right now because of the fact that I watched it in fast forward. So not all of the emotion came back to me quite so hard and fast as it did initially, but I still so appreciated just the beauty of that storyline. It was incredible.
Yeah, and then just because you mentioned the word beauty, just the beauty of Phyllis coming out and seeing that snow.
Perfect opening for this episode.
It was great.
Because we knew, if you'll remember, at the end of last season, we knew they were going to open this storm.
Time of the year,
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, we had the Tillerson storyline. So let's talk about. Okay,
what was that
Mr.
Shocker?
Tillerson, Percy?
Oh my God,
Percy, such an amiable man.
Right.
Oh my goodness,
jolly, charming.
And I don't want to put you out. No, I'll come to the surgery.
Come here.
Yes, I've had my legs been burnt and everything, and you're tending to it. But I'll do my follow ups. I'll come on in and search and think, what a guy,
what a great guy.
It's great, he's fantastic.
Awesome. And then discovered in a snowbank, and oh my God, the tragedy! What? And because you'd heard the radio, was it the
reporting
TV?
Reporting the fatalities. Yeah, TV's back.
That's right.
Oh my God, the TV's back.
Monica Jones found a TV, lost her marbles. So we got everything. It's full circle. But yeah, so they had said 11 people had died, and then we find this gentleman in the snowbank, and it turns out to be Percy Tillerson. And then, of course, because the snow has occurred and there's no help for Dr. Turner, he's got to ask for her help to go notify her. Yes. And Sister Julianne gets the job. She goes to meet Mrs. Tillerson.
Break down the door.
She was dead. And then, when she was talking to her, I'm going, is this woman have dementia?
What's happening? Yeah, something is up here, for sure.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah,
and then, she's talking about Percy, and he won't like that, and then you find out that she's happy that he's dead.
Glad for how he met his end.
Yes, and I'm just going, where are we going here? And then it just gets worse.
It gets way worse.
Beat his kids, abused his daughter.
Beat her, too.
Beat her.
Got her pregnant.
Mabel said it was... If she was plain, would he have done what he did to her?
Yeah. So, what do you do with that? What do you do with that?
And that his attachment to his daughter was unnatural.
Yeah, that was a great line.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then kicks her out.
Right. And they just, another thing.
I thought it was, because the turn was amazing because he's such he was such an incredibly heartwarming gentleman that you meet.
Not expecting that.
Yeah, you don't expect monsters to look like that, to sound like that.
Thank you. Yes. Especially considering what the world, especially showbiz, is going through now.
It just kept going and kept going. And then the fact that she was knocking on the door, because mom says that she ran away, and did she tell? And then when Julianne's going to, what's her name? Althea or Anthea?
Something with
the daughter.
Yeah.
Talking about his mother. Did she tell you that I ran away? Well, here's the truth. They threw me out. I'm banging on the door, and the door slammed in my face. I can't get back in. And I'm just going, oh, my God.
Anthea.
Thank you. Gets worse. And of course, then we find her amidst a bunch of kids, not only her own, but fostering kids.
A veritable
kids.
Gaggle. Yeah,
exactly.
Of kids.
Mm-hmm. And never having to raise a hand to any of them, just her voice. And you actually get to see that, and you're just going, how did that woman come out of that experience unscathed, and at least not as scathed, pardon me, as you think she should be?
Yeah, as she could be.
Yeah, and then just decides that, no, I don't want to have anything to do with her. I'm not about forgiveness. Here, check the note.
Because she she didn't save me.
Yeah, yeah. And even the 10-pound bomb, I'm just going, you knew that was coming back. I just didn't know how, and everything like that. I'm just going, wow, she kept that. It kept it so long that it went out of circulation. They don't even take them anymore. It's just as a memory of what she overcame.
Yeah.
Ah, yay.
there's, you know, stories like that, especially of a time of, you know, the war and post-war of, you know, people having this incredible resolute moments of, I'll say, even though she probably needed that money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm saving it as a symbol. Yeah. And they're not made of the same kind of stuff as people are today.
You didn't save me then, you're not going to save me now.
No. So,
you know, exactly. I just... So.
It didn't break me. Wasn't going to let it break her.
Right. Yeah.
So.
But I mean, we carry that story along even further. And I thought, afterwards, you know, Julianne's asking her to come see her mom and deal with the dad issue. And then, you know, they're getting... she's getting ready, Mrs. Tillerson, for whatever the service was. I can't remember at the time.
Is that the pantomime?
I think they were going to the pantomime. Okay, I wasn't sure about that. And just the way she was talking, that otherworldly acting going on, the way that character was, like she was present but not really present.
Do you mean Mrs. Tillerson?
Yes,
Mabel. Kind of, I think was
still living in the past, and the whole we learned that she put the 10 bob there because you know that's the money she had for like for whatever escape money or to get away.
But she never had the courage.
I gave it to her for all the things that I was not brave enough to do.
Yeah,
and even that didn't work to some degree because it wasn't used for that. Used later for
or symbolically,
yeah, exactly.
Yes, it was definitely
and
symbolically.
You just go, oh my god, and it reminded me, I was telling Tammy,
oh, yes,
it reminded me of what was it?
Gift of the Magi,
Gift of the Magi kind of thing, the missing, the gifts, thing, and everything like that. It's like, damn, they're getting all the Christmas stuff,
yes,
in. All that metaphorical stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I'm very familiar with that story, studied it in college, and I love that you made that comparison, and I'm surprised I didn't.
Got to it first.
And I also liked what Anthea was talking to Julian about how, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm taking care of my family. I'm making sure that they never get a door slammed in their face. Can you understand that? And Julian very compassionately says, yes, we do it all the time.
Yes.
That's what we do. And that harkens back to, I'll take care of it. That's what us midwives do, even though she's not just a midwife. But that's what they all do, is they're just the caretaking. Exactly. It's just everything.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
How do they hold it all?
I don't know. That was something I was thinking of today was, you know, you have bad days.
Yeah.
I have bad days.
Never seen you have a bad day.
They are in these midwives, these women are in, you know, the most challenging, most painful moments of these people's lives, whether it's just going through the birth, losing babies, you know, losing husbands, abuse, rape, all of these things that are so heightened. And it's not to say that they don't sort of leave and go have their moments like Val did in this episode. Sure. But how they can every day, and I know they're characters, I get it, but how they
they're based up, the people are like this.
Every day go back to work with the just ability to continue to give care and comfort to people again and again and again on a daily basis without like running out. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. And it's completely romanticized.
I do sometimes.
I run out.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's totally romanticized. But that's why it's entertainment. But it's also extremely aspirational. And the fact that you even are going in those trying moments, you're going, what would a midwife do?
I know it sounds cheesy, but it really does inspire me. I have to say.
If it's an example for you to better yourself, great. Use it. What, that's all right.
Thank you, John.
We can all be better.
I wouldn't, but anyway. So we actually get the nice resolution at the end there because the daughter does show up with all her
brood,
exactly. And I thought that was wonderful.
Her colorful brood, which loved. That they're
some of her mind and some of her mind for only a time, and all this stuff, and you know, gives the 10 bob back and the whole thing
with flowers,
and the whole line about I don't know how it survived, and you know, this belongs to the past, and all this other stuff. It's like,
I gotcha.
The mom,
get to the pantomime.
The mom, when she was like not hugging but trying to touch and not like,
oh my god,
so great! Another like, who decided? Because like, usually they like will go in and go for a touch, but she was like,
didn't know how to know,
and
didn't
that
feel like she had to write or whatever.
So
it was.
She their rift and coming overcoming that, and her feeling responsibility for it, and all of that. Yeah. It's beautiful. Done.
Great. It's another Christmas miracle.
Okay, let's real quick go through the other things that happened because we got to also get to episode one.
There was a smelly beanstalk.
Well, the whole snow thing.
Oh, that's what the kids are calling it.
Yeah, exactly. you know, the worst winter in 300 years and all the, you know, all the other stuff. And I just, all the repercussions of that, mm-hmm. and they set those up. So there was just, you know, let's face it, Sheila had to shimmy into her girdle. That was hard enough there.
She was not ready to get back into her girdle.
She wasn't ready to get back in the girdle.
But, you know, just a metaphor of being girded. You know, she comes in there and...
prepared for battle.
Oh, my God, yeah. She puts on that armor, and then she's taken over.
Taking care of business.
That's right. She's none of that, you know, bad meat pie.
Sewer meat pie
exactly.
or whatever it was.
And her line, too. It's like, if I don't do more than enough, or what is it? If I don't try to do too much, not enough gets done.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, and any one of those lines could be the log line for the show. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the big news we got was, of course, Tom being transferred to Birmingham.
Birmingham.
Right.
So, and all that entails and how they were struggling with that until he sees the image of the hand in the hand in the hand, and it's like, I could do that anywhere. It's like, oh, the tiny, tiny hand. That was a great shot, though. His hand
was
huge,
beautiful.
So. And of course, we had Phyllis with the Cubs.
And, Cub!
You know, I love her
going
with
up
the Cubs.
Going up against the Popo with Sergeant. I mean,
Wolf. Sergeant Wolf.
Sergeant Wolf, yeah. And that's all crazy. And they're setting that up, which was nice. And then, you know, the fact that she has to build the igloo and then has to tear it down.
Treacherous. Do you have a permit for this?
The treacherous edifice, which I believe is the Inuit word.
Yeah. Treacherous edifice.
Do you have a permit for this?
Oh my God! I mean, so much involved in all this other stuff, and then the resolution with the bottles, and there was the bottles, there was a hot water bottle, there was all these connections made between the storylines,
containers, vessels.
Just enjoying it.
Vagina. I said it. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, she went there.
Do you want to talk about Sister Monica Joan?
Sure, go.
So she was given the toilet froze,
right,
if you'll remember.
Winifred broke it.
Because she was given that toilet to muscle man. Yeah. And yeah, that was a problem. So then Monica Joan was in charge of boiling water every 30 minutes or whatever. And she was fixed on that task and then was asked to make the hat for Reggie.
Right.
Couldn't that handle that.
It started to be overwhelming for her.
Yeah, so we're seeing some more of the age affecting her, which was touching. Reggie did eventually get the hat that he wanted.
Yes, he did.
Because Phyllis. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Phyllis. Yeah. And then Christopher saw Trixie with no makeup.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's and, right.
curlers.
But did you see what he was wearing?
And he had a pink bathrobe on.
Dentists have medical training. He can't think your hair is that way naturally.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was so. I was thinking that goes right along with the milk. They don't have milk with the tea. The tragedy of that, and then the tragedy of the shock. Oh my God, the poor thing. No, he saw me like this.
Mm-hmm. You know? Good heavens.
Cute. Yeah. All right. What else do you want to say?
That's what I have.
Okay. All right. Anything? I mean, I thought it was well received. I think it was the most highly rated one.
It's highly rated show in the UK.
No, I mean,
for
that
night.
Episode,
it was huge.
And I go, what other show has all that in it?
Right.
And still manages to be funny and touching and all the other things that it is.
And we still want to wake up the next morning.
I was exhausted.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Were you?
I was like, whoa, this was a lot because there's no commercials. So that's an hour and 14 minutes of all show.
No respite.
Yeah. I was like, wow. And you kept me going through the whole time. But I did wonder how you're moving to Birmingham with only one bag.
No, they had two.
He had one, and she had one.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
The rest of it's being shipped.
She's like, one, okay.
No, the rest of it's being stored.
Where's the rest of your stuff?
And they have a pod out back.
I know they were saying they were, you know, he was
a man of the clock. He has a Spartan life.
Good Lord.
And
I knew she only had, like, one dress and stuff before.
Right.
She always took the pass downs or whatever it was from her sister.
You would think now as a married lady she'd have something.
Like, girl, get a nightgown and a couple dresses.
Our secret agent in the UK wants us to mention Fred as the lady
man.
Pantomime.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because we talked about Valerie being Jack. So
and how the UK has been gender fluid for a very long time.
That's right. Far more fluid than the US.
That's true.
At least way earlier on, let's put it that way.
Well.
Yes, and I thought he should go to a colorist, though. I think their shading rouge was a little much.
Yeah, but a little harsh.
I think he's a winter, and he should have had more subdued colors. That's all I'm saying.
But you wanted to be able to see him from the back seats.
That's true.
Yeah, fair point.
He gave his face some dimension.
Fair point.
I wanted to see the pantomime after all that. I was like, give me more of that. Because they're fun.
Yes, they are.
All right. What else we got on the Christmas show before we move on?
Just the last thing about the TV, that Sister Julianne is the one who reclaimed the TV. Well, and that's the word she said. Or she said, I seized the chance to reclaim this when the Naval Church.
And Monica Jones' response to clapping was just adorable.
And it was the like final nail in the coffin for Sister Ursula.
That's right. And we did have that nice tableau with the picture for the Boxing Day picture and everybody seated and everybody.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
That was a great shot.
Loved it.
It was super cute.
It's like, you know, and I'm going, in any other show, it might be cheesy. But it's like, I'm there. I'm completely with it.
It's good cheese.
So, yeah. All right. So we got to get to episode one.
Episode one, also known as episode two.
Episode two. Is it? What? Do they consider
Well, because there was the Christmas show, and then they call this episode one.
But technically, it should be two.
And it messes everything up when I'm trying to explain it to people when we rebroadcast in the U.S.
I always see the Christmas shows are separate. They're a separate thing. Yeah. I always think the first episode
Christmas is special
season,
is its own thing.
Yeah.
The series is that. Yeah. So I always call that the episode one. So how about, we're calling this episode one.
Episode one.
Yeah.
All right. Episode one.
And this is the one with Nadine. How about that one? Nadine, who's a dancer at the Exotic Club.
Dancer in her mink.
In her
fur, whatever.
In her mink, And I went, well, okay, we've never been doing the Exotic Dance Club.
No, that's
true. Call the midwife after hours. We went blue. We got, okay, there we go. Nice.
And who knew? Pregnant stripper.
I thought I didn't know in the beginning. She had the house coat on, the knitted house coat and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't guess that until we said, then I saw the knees and I'm going,
what's really going on?
What's being hidden here?
Exactly. No one complaining.
It's a different
about
kind of strip than John's used to seeing, apparently. Just saying.
Thank you, Tamara. I don't know where to go with that one. Although I have to say, their outfits were different than I'm used to seeing, too.
I bet.
There were some very different outfits.
Ties and belly stuff. Like, it was, there was some weird stuff.
Please, Courtney.
There was like a tail device.
Yeah, there was some
on
weird.
One of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys
like
go.
Shoelaces. Yeah. Like, I didn't get one of them had laced up. But it was out
on skin.
It was just weird.
Yeah.
It was just weird.
Because you guys are always talking about fashion more so than I am.
This was not fashion.
It wasn't fashion.
But if I start talking about it, it's creepy. So go ahead.
That was like ratchet underwear for stripping purposes. But, you know. The guys seemed to like it, and I guess that's what's
Yeah, they were okay.
But they didn't like that she didn't. The mink didn't come off because obviously her boss is saying, this is going to go anymore. And she obviously knows she's pregnant and then decides, you're gone. So you have to leave. So she's fired or unsummarily dismissed, let's put it this way.
Yes.
And then we see her with the clinic, and she meets up with Trixie.
Mm-hmm. In another town. She gets off the underground. And then, in another part of town.
Yeah, she comes back to Poplar.
Right,
so
exactly.
Where she was from.
Yeah.
Exactly. And she learns that she doesn't even know the father's name.
Right.
Nope.
So, I don't. That's why I kind of mixed up with Linda because
sort of similar circumstances.
Yeah, and she can't even decide on a name for the baby because why should she?
Because she's going to put it up for adoption.
And they change the name. So what's the point? And I'm just going, wow. Okay.
She's
that's
very
where we're
clear
starting
on
from.
Things.
Yeah. Exactly. No. Yeah. And I was thought about that, and you know, and I was going, what? You know, because the her boss, quote boss, woman who owns the club says, look, if you don't keep the baby,
then you can come back.
You can come back. And I'm just going, that's right. We're 63 here. And
I guess because she was living there. Because it's like a brothel or something. Like
they
live upstairs.
Kind of. Yeah, it was a.
I guess
the ladies,
there's
the upstairs and the downstairs.
Yeah, exactly. So, man. Yeah.
Can't bring the baby back to the
house. And I'm going, all right, that's what we're calling midwife territory. Here we're going to go take the descent into madness. So, and then there's a whole question about the RH factor. And so that's because that's the first time we've had that that particular. What, did you want to say something, Tamara?
And the minute she said, is this your first pregnancy?
We knew it was.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, yep, my first one. And I went, no, it's not.
There's no way.
There's going to be a problem.
Nope.
Yeah, I wasn't even going there. Usually I am. I didn't even think about that.
I have to say, John, you tend to like see all the way to the end of a show or a movie.
Yeah.
And you like turn it off when you're watching Call the Midwife. Or maybe it's just because you're not a lady.
No, I don't think it's that. I think
you just are present and enjoying the lovely moment for the moment.
Yes, of course. That's exactly right. No, I think what it usually, I'm ahead of the storylines because, you know, if you write enough, you see things come down the pipe.
Sure.
I think that this one is, I trust them so much, I turn off that side of my brain because I know however they're going to do it, I'm going to enjoy and it's going to be satisfying.
Yeah.
So I'm never ahead because I don't want to be, because I trust what they're doing so much, I'd rather them just do it.
Yeah.
Then, you know, and I don't, there's no time for me or space for me to worry about it or be concerned with it, because I know I'm in the hands of people that know what the hell they're doing. Aww.
See, that is how I watch everything.
Yeah, I'm not.
But it is different for you with the show. It's very interesting. It is,
so, but I do enjoy that. So, okay, let's get to the pregnancy.
So,
the delivery,
the
I should
birth.
Say. Yeah, exactly.
Trixie's there for
Trixie's there for the birth. And I was just, oh boy. And
that I'm going, was a lot.
And I'm going, hey, never seen a breech.
Haven't seen it like
this,
that.
I think this is the first breech we've had, right?
Hanging out of her stuff like that.
Yeah. There was the elbow involved. That
elbow.
Was the thing. Trixie's there, like, digging her elbow into the abdomen, it looked like.
At some point, Tammy goes, where is she putting that elbow?
Where's that elbow going?
Yeah. That was hardcore. That this is the first or maybe the only second one that literally made, because I like watching the births.
I'm the weirdo
that watched births on television. It's a thing.
Surgery Channel.
Yeah. I'm Surgery Channel all the way, and this made me cross my legs and roll off the couch, and I was squirming like a freaking snake.
That's the only word I have capitalized and underlined, squirmy.
Squirmy.
I was like,
he does,
oh
it's right
God.
There.
Yeah. And when she squirmy. Let the baby hang.
Oh right. My God. No, we have
Let
seen
gravity
that before.
Do its work. We saw something similar.
I don't think it was a breech. I think it was something. Was it a breech?
It was. Okay. And we've had the baby hang before.
All right.
We've definitely seen that before.
Then I'm wrong. I just don't remember.
I remember that there was one other one that made me uncomfortable, but like this made me real messy.
So, and because of, I think it's because of the snow and everybody was in different spots, Lucy called into action. Yeah. So we'll bring it, and I know we haven't even talked to, we're going to have a new midwife, but our new midwife had to help in this. So she was there as part of the birth team. And the hanging of the baby and the whole thing, and we finally get the baby out and everything, and then she, what's that? Tamara?
Wait, before the baby, okay? Yeah. Trixie's line: "You're brave. I wish I had all your courage."
Speaking to her storyline,
Mm-hmm.
Of course, which we'll get to in a bit. So yeah, but so this is after the birth. She's in the phone. She's on the phone. She's talking. Who was she talking to? I can't remember.
Who did she call? She called Nana's house, right?
Yeah, but I can't remember who she spoke
with.
But anyway, the point of it was that she kept umbilical cord long in case there needed to be a transfusion. And I'm just going to, and of course,
you know, it's going to happen.
Yeah, of course. And then
just quickly, brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Or maybe not brilliant if you're a midwife and
I'm sure
you know that's
probably
standard practice. But
yeah. SOP.
But amazing.
Yeah. And then when she's there at the hospital, meeting Nadine, and Valerie comes in.
Give you that light for your lady bits. Warming up the lady bits.
Poor nether regions.
Yes.
The soothing warm glow.
Soothing warm.
And I went, how? And I was wondering, you know, because earlier on we saw Val and she's in her leotard and she's doing the dance thing, which is reminiscent of when Barbara did it. And I'm going, what is this? And then they're
do you mean Barbara or do you mean Trixie?
I mean Valerie. Valerie was in it.
Harken back to.
Well, Valerie was doing exercises with Trixie. But she was, you know, and dancing and stuff like that. So in one episode. But she just reminded me because she looks more like Barbara than she looks like Trixie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, how are they tying all that in? And then she's talking about the dance studio. And then because obviously Nadine is from Poplar, she remembers that dance studio.
Right.
And I'm just going, okay, so that
like
I was
she
ahead.
She has a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like she doesn't have to strip anymore. She's off the pole.
She's off the pole.
She can keep her baby.
You're hilarious.
Yes.
Aww.
It's another Christmas miracle.
She's off the pole. But, you know, it was very, you know, again, she just puts up the little sign at the end there. But the whole Reese baby and the whole the pregnancy for me, I don't remember the other hanging baby, so this one was just so squirmy for me, and I was crossing my legs and falling off the chair.
Yeah.
Oh goodness gracious.
Yep.
All right.
And then she says the line was, I let her in and it was like she tore me
open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I don't know.
Which she did.
Yeah.
But
and then named her Elizabeth.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even, I only heard it emotionally the first time, and then after I thought about it a little bit, you know.
And I like the way she went back, they had the moment when she went back to the
strip club lady and took her money, and she said, leave with your self-respect or whatever, and she's like, this is my
self-respect. It's right here, lady. Exactly. I got your self-respect right here.
Give me my money.
Exactly.
I loved it.
So she turned in a pole for her self-respect.
And she sold her fur.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she could buy it. That was great.
Yeah, that was terrific.
I was amazing. So happy.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally buy all that. Okay, but the other story was a little bit more challenging for me. Just because okay, so
you mean Trixie getting Miss Dior, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
That was a beautiful guest.
So you called me out on that. Good job. I was actually going to talk about the Gellens.
Oh, the Gellens. Yeah.
And the family. And so Dr. Turner.
That was tough.
Oh, man. So, you know, this is one of those rare times. It's not really about birthing or midwifery or anything like that. It's just about caretaking. And, you know, and the scope of work that they have to do in Poplar. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Turner's taking care of her. She's had a bout with cancer, and now it's returned.
So, you know, early on, sort of right after the war, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the early episodes, which were right after the war, mm-hmm. It seemed like a lot more or a larger portion of the stories were about the kind of general health care in the neighborhood, like the community building. Mm-hmm. And so I was really happy to see one of those stories come back and really focus on community and how things are changing.
Yeah. That was
in Poplar.
We had the nice metaphor of that buildings are being torn down around them.
Yeah.
Progress is happening.
Yeah.
So, and while that's happening, life is continuing and ending.
Yes.
Yeah. So, because she's, you know, and it was, there were the couple's relationship, the man and the wife, husband
Ruth
and wife.
Ruth and I don't know.
Their relationship was just wonderful to me. She's, you know, ill and doctor's there, and he's brought out the baking,
cake.
The pastries and the cheesecake and stuff like that.
And
he's doing what he can to try to make her life better and stuff. And I just
that would make my life better.
I know. Cheesecake?
If I made pastry.
I had a husband who was a baker.
And serves it to you on a little platter.
Honey, I made you a
cheesecake. You want some tea, darling? Would you like a glass of wine?
I'm just
going
to make a note to myself.
Bake a cheesecake, John.
I'll take care of that for you. But then also when Phillips was brought in to help, and then we had that moment when, you know, mom is doing not well, and the daughter's trying to convince her to come move in with me, and she'll have none of that. No, this is my home, and all that kind of stuff. And then she has an embarrassment in the bed and everything like that, and the daughter doesn't know. Even Phyllis goes right to work. And even the father, I thought the shot they had, the husband, when he's in the kitchen getting things,
the dough,
but just to give them privacy and not to make her so embarrassed, he just turns so that she's not embarrassed. And I was just like, just that small little moment. And I was just going, that tells me volumes about their relationship and how there's certain things, you know, he's trying to save her having to confront that.
Man.
Exactly. And I was just, that's killing me.
Speech beside the bed.
God.
Okay. So, but first, Phyllis convinces... So I was concerned the building was going to topple on them.
Yeah.
Were you guys concerned about that? Like the jeopardy of that?
I wasn't, but I'm sure that's what they were going for. No. I didn't think that was going to happen just because I just...
I was just concerned about that. Yeah. I didn't want there to be some, you know, a wrecking ball come through their living room while she's retching up blood and, you know. So when they didn't do that, I calmed down a little bit because my tension was really high with that concern. So finally, Phyllis talks to the constable.
Well, no, her uniform dresses down his uniform.
Thank you. That is an important clarification.
Go ahead.
And, you know, talks about the fact that they came here from Germany and, you know, escaped the horrors there and lived in this house and in this community. Can't you let her die here? Can't you let her complete her cycle, essentially?
And up until then, we had not seen any signs of compassion from Sergeant.
None.
And how beautiful was it that he, you know, pulled out his whistle and he used that word compassion.
He said,
I'm not a man without compassion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, get that phone line back up.
Yeah.
And he told Dr. Turner that, that's, you know,
just let me know.
Let me know when I need to. I can't remember the phrase he used when the end is occurred or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm going to go back to courting with the husband.
That speech.
You know, because the father is Dr. Turner. He says she's still there.
There.
And gives him the impetus to go tell her whatever she needs to know before she leaves. And that just ripped me apart.
If I never said.
Yeah. Like, I say it now. Yeah.
All of it.
You guys talk.
I can't even like go through. I don't have my notes, but I know he said, if I never told you you were beautiful when you wore the same shirt, whatever that was, like, and all I could think, because they were talking about the war and they came over there, they didn't have anything, and he's like,
Or that you got lines in your face and all that other stuff, and it's like,
every heart string pulled smoothly.
Again, a completely wasted, superfluous moment. Totally stupid.
The full circle of love.
So if I never said I love you, I say it now.
Yeah, I say it now.
I mean, it was so poetic as well.
Yes, it was.
And I just want to say the face of that actor was, he was so warm and welcoming in every way.
Yeah.
You know, and he had this face that in some way there was joy in everything he did, in my experience of him, and I really loved that.
Yeah.
And then when we had the moment outside after she had passed, and they were singing.
And he had said that he had left up here, so and you even get that nice resolution there that even though he may have left, they're still there. So
the
music, though, I just thought that was incredibly beautiful with the friends,
very moving,
and the chorus and singing. And then after that,
then the strudel.
I wanted the strudel.
Delivers the strudel.
He delivers really the strudel to Phyllis. You think that's there? Yeah, that's good
that's
enough,
nice.
Right there, right? You think that's good enough, right?
It's so great, and how it was like wrapped with
but the way even the blue and
white cloth.
Yes. She says you're moving in with your daughter, and yes, you should see your kitchen, and this is the last thing that I made in mine.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the, and this is the last.
Yeah. And you think that's enough. It's wrapped up, right? We're done.
No. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Because she unwraps. It's beautiful. And then you see her cut it, and you're going, why is she taking such a big piece?
Yeah, why is she?
That's like
a
in the
big,
middle.
Yeah. What is her? Right?
Yeah, slow down, Phyllis.
Yeah,
I mean,
relax,
I know you're
lady.
Hungry, but... Yeah.
But then she wraps it in the love cloth and gives it to the constable.
Who comes up with this stuff?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
It's amazing.
It worked. Oh, and we also forgot the moment. When she comes home after, when Phyllis comes home after all that.
Oh, yeah.
And Lucille.
And
Lucy had everything.
Hot water bottle.
She's not going to fit in.
No, she's not.
She doesn't know what she's doing.
She clearly doesn't have the kindness and compassion gene.
Loving kindness just floating around.
Yeah.
going back, because I was just reminded, the phone call came too late from her
son. Oh,
yeah,
from her son, Martin, in Florida. Yeah. Well, they had other, conversations, so that part was good, that because mom lied to her son about her condition, but her daughter straightened that out, set him straight so that he would know. So he didn't, I'm sure they said their goodbyes to some degree, but he didn't get that last phone call.
Yeah.
So it really just tore us up. I don't know if it tore
It did, because watching Phyllis on the phone and then the daughter and the father were just huddled.
The composition of that shot
was gorgeous.
You didn't have to say a word. All you just pick up the phone. I'm done. That's it. I'm just destroyed.
No.
So,
goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get on to some happier things. We do have to discuss the fact that the new...
We have a new midwife.
And she's from Jamaica.
Yeah. And so she's anxiously awaited. They keep talking about her and stuff like that. She's late. Something's happened. We don't know. They're ready to... Well, actually, Phyllis actually goes to the sergeant.
Which was hilarious. She had no description of her whatsoever.
No idea.
She's 25.
Yeah. I don't have the...
She's female.
I don't have the manpower to go searching
for
that.
That's all I got.
The end.
He's like, what am I supposed to do with
exactly.
this?
Exactly. She says, well, I gave you the facts as I had them. Great. So she finally shows up, which is great because we see her. She's trudging along, carrying nothing.
Yep.
She's just in the snow and takes a dive in the snow as well. And I was just going, "Wow,
so, poor girl."
Yeah, exactly. And then what's the first thing that happens in there?
She's skinned her knee, and they take her
right,
in there.
They're taking care of her and stuff.
Take care of her knee, and Trixie brings her a nice little platter of options and candles and, candles and love. Yeah,
they're welcoming. And that was the other thing is that before he actually shows up, we actually learn that she's going to be rooming with Phyllis, clearly, because Barbara is now gone, so that room is available.
No more studio couch.
But she's already, as soon as they leave, you know, she's like, oh, I got my studio couch, I got my thing.
Ah, curses. And, yeah, many pillows.
And has to give the throw pillows.
Gotta get rid of the throw pillows.
So you know Phyllis is like already resenting this.
Except those women resent things for like about 30 seconds.
Exactly. And then exactly. But I mean, that's just the setup for the water bottle thing, making that thing. But so, but she quickly is either had a bladder infection or develops one quickly, whatever.
Yeah.
So she's
travel sometimes can do that too.
Exactly. And she's, I thought that may be the reason why she fell.
Could be. She was weak. And, well, she had a fever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that's part of it. So, but anyway, so she's not even supposed to work for a week. But that's, of course, because everybody's out doing other things. They're short-staffed. She's got to. So that's why she ends up with Nadine assisting on the breach. Squirming. So, but I thought it was great. It was a great way to introduce her. I mean, the anticipation. I purposely didn't read up anything about her or anything like that. I want to know.
Didn't see it coming. Exactly.
Exactly. And I was going, oh, great. This is great. How are we going
to
deal with this?
Right. Yeah. And it's going to be, you know, more, we'll get to have more conversation about, so we've had people of color in the community, but we have not had anybody a woman of color. So I'm sure there are going to be people who will not accept her.
Yep. I thought it was going to happen in this episode, actually, when she showed up at Nadine's. I thought it was going to be like, Nadine's like,
that's what I thought. I was like, but are we going to go there right now?
Yeah, okay, I was like, whoa.
That's going to kill us when that happens.
Of course, but I thought it was great. You know, they even had the discussion at tea or whatever. Yes, the ladies are saying, you know, what are we going to do if somebody's not as welcoming, stuff like that. And then, you know, and again, speaking to your point, what would a midwife do?
Right.
Like, you know, perhaps we'll have some nice things to reflect on and all that other stuff. So that'd be nice, right? Or we could just kick him out of the country. So. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did I drop in something political?
We could tweet.
You should. I love it.
You could tweet.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Like the lines to say.
But so I
go Women's March.
And I thought the most... just the heartwarming thing about this episode was the way she was when she met Monica Jones.
Yeah.
And that they shared the Keats thing, and, you know, there was this real...
And how Monica Jones lit up when she realized that.
Oh, yeah. That, so and then exciting. It was quickly, you know, it was wonderful. It was like, oh, this is very fruitful. And then it was wonderful. Like, she's like, she's so giving, I could organize those for you.
According to the Dewey Decimal System.
I'm a former librarian. It's like,
Monica Jones.
But I just thought it was great that she's Keats, she's reciting Keats, and she's a librarian. It's like, okay, I'm getting all this backstory.
It was very well led out.
And then, of course, that moment. Got cut. Nope, done. Like, thank you. Shows her the door.
The door. Was so impressed.
I went, whoa, okay.
Oh, that's over.
Yeah, we had a really nice moment there. It's like, I guess that's it.
But that let her get to know Sister Monica Jones very quickly.
That's right. And we go, okay.
All right, and so that's what we're dealing with.
Absolutely character-based and saying, yeah, I'm there.
Monica Joan panicking about being infirmed, having
people mind jumping to conclusions about her, and that it wasn't her mistake, or maybe it was. And just again, it's like, oh God, this hurts to see that.
To watch.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It was power outages, so it's sort of like her coming in and out and the power outages and that was married together. I'm just like, how do you people come up with this? I'm so not brilliant.
Yeah.
Luckily, they do it for us.
I know.
Thankfully, they have almost a year to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes.
Yeah. That one was great. But again, it's just uncomfortable. I know every time I know there's going to be... moments, scenes that I was like, oh God, I can't take that. And is it just because it's so uncomfortable? Because I don't want these women to be in pain.
No, we don't want them in pain because they've given so much. They don't deserve it.
They're our friends too, and
we love them.
Do we want to do the last two?
Sure.
Little bit? So Sister Winifred, her driving. driving test is scheduled for 2 weeks.
Man, for, yeah.
When she drove, in the Christmas episode when they took the son back to, they were taking him back to school.
Reggie.
And he's like, I'm scared.
Looking out the back window, I'm scared. His read on that line was perfect.
It was so good.
And the shot, when he's driving away, was like, oh my God, that's priceless.
Yeah.
But she finally gets her thing. So.
She gets her
thing.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, before that, of course, she has a test drive or whatever it is, and she comes back and she's crying and she's inconsolable, but she's throwing the things. And I'm saying, all right, geez. And all the stuff that's happening, and, you know, that's the thing. But that's her world right now, and everything, that's the forefront. Hey. So. Yeah. All right. What else?
Trixie.
Oh,
gets
course.
The Miss Dior. Only tarts wear nail varnish.
Yeah. He's wooing her.
So I'm wearing it.
Wait a
minute.
But here's the thing. Christopher's wooing her with flowers and furniture polish. Now, I don't know that that's a winning combo.
It's not furniture polish, John.
Well, according to
Phyllis.
According to Phyllis. And Valerie, I mean, there's a hint of lemon pledge in there.
Lemon pledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not.
It was
so Trixie reveals then, that really, she's a
30-year-old virgin.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anybody see that?
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either. I mean, I kind of did, but not really. Yeah. That was not like, but I was like, oh, yeah, I guess.
Okay. Man. I guess it makes sense, but.
Yeah. I just went, huh. All right.
Like never, ever?
It's not like I went, no way. I didn't throw the flag or anything like that. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Because, you know, she does talk a good game.
Yes.
But that's her protection. That's what she does and stuff like that.
And that's what she talked about at the AA meeting.
Yeah. That's what she built.
Yeah.
So, the protection.
I had a cage.
And everything's the artifice for her. I mean, she fronts like crazy with the whole hair, everything. Stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
So, but it's, this is not the first time that they've done that where she's actually, we finally get to know what's inside. And it happened in a meeting the other time as well. It's the only time we actually get to see
her peel back her layers.
Exactly. Which is, it's a great tool. I'm glad you're using it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering how that's going to play out when she actually does it with Chris, because.
Do you mean does it?
No, I don't mean does it. I mean reveal herself. Oh. And I don't mean physically.
I was like, well, she did buy that black nightgown.
I became a 10th grader.
Yeah, you did.
They're going to do it.
She's got a black nightie.
She's got a black
nightie. Oh, yeah.
It was black and lacy.
So yes, I have some news. Should we do the news?
Yeah. Sure, let's do
the news because we only have a couple minutes left. AfterBuzz TV News. Helen George and Jack Ashford, also known as Trixie and...
Christopher.
Tom have a baby.
Priest are together.
Yes, they are a couple. They welcomed their baby named Ren last fall, and she elected to have a cesarean section. Mm. In an interview after the birth, she said that she wasn't against natural birth, and she thinks mothers' decisions should be based on what is right for the person at the time. She, quote, "It's not that I'm too posh to push. It's about what I think my body is capable of, and I'm not good with pain. I faint when I stub my toe. Not that a C-section was the easy way out. It's a major operation."
Okay.
She also talked about the fact that her daughter was delivered early because the actress suffered from intrahepatic cholestasis of pregnancy, also known as ICP, a liver condition that can be life-threatening for the unborn baby. So,
oh, no.
Wow.
A couple of reasons to have a C-section. And she also has a ring. He put a ring on it. She sported a large engagement ring, so perhaps a wedding with an adorable flower girl is coming up sometime soon. Okay, Judy Parfitt, who plays Sister Monica Joan, has been in the show since episode 2. She's been begging for Heidi Thomas to write her off.
Mm.
She said, "I'm 82. I'm so old now that I don't have to worry about work. I keep saying to Heidi, why don't you kill me off?" To which I say, "You can kill me now."
You know what that means.
She's gonna die.
Courtney.
I don't want to have her die.
She's like soul the heart. Of yeah, the exactly. House.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Can't die.
I agree. But don't you think that Sister Julian could fit that role?
No.
She's at the heart of the house?
Because she doesn't have the same whimsy that Sister Monica Joan has. Like, she's wise and all that, but she's like...
I see what you're saying. She's certainly not as vulnerable as...
Yeah.
No, that's true. That's true. So I'm just prepping you all. That's it. Man. I'm just letting you know.
Courtney's usually is like, yeah, she's dead. She's dead.
I mean, I figured they. I pretty much figured in that episode when in the second, or not second, the first one episode,
regular whatever, episode, non Christmas episode.
They're playing with the whole mind thing even more now that it's probably going to become a situation. She's going to pass away. So I've already mentally prepared, but I don't want to accept that because I don't want her to die.
I'm with you on that.
Want her to live, but I also wouldn't want to be working at 82 on a set all day, all the time. Right. Probably, you.
Yeah. If you don't have to, yeah.
Just call me in for the day. I'll work for the day, you know? A couple hours, and leave me alone.
Make sure there's good craft services.
Yeah.
Sister Winifred, played by Victoria Yates, is actually in real life a bad driver. When she heard that her character was going to be learning to drive on the show, she said, and I quote, "I thought, oh shit, I can't drive. I had 4 lessons, then I had to do my first driving scene with a camera on the side of the car. The director would say, 'Can you keep chatting?' And I said, 'No, I can't.' And then I was told that the camera was worth 100,000 pounds to add a little pressure to the situation. She actually can't drive."
Hilarious. No acting required.
Did they have that storyline already, or did they just adjust it for her?
I don't. Wonder. They didn't say which came first.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they didn't say which came first. And according to the Mirror, the greatest TV romance of 2018 is On Call, The Midwife. And who do you think that they're predicting?
Phyllis and
Sergeant Wolf. They cite the fact that Phyllis gave the police officer the entire half of her gift strudel and the conveniently available status of the two characters as their main thoughts for the
and
romance.
He gave her her due.
Right.
Yes,
she
did.
Read the bottles.
Right. And I like a man who.
Nothing like
yeah, a, she says
she
that
likes
line.
A strong man.
I'm glad she gave him the strudel, though. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Secret Agent says that she still hasn't recovered from the shoes on the funeral car the last time with Sister. That was Sister Evangeline, right? Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
Forget it.
They can't kill her.
That's just going to be brutal.
It's going to be. And
you know, you said you mentioned Downton Abbey and Matthew. What about.
Sybil.
Sybil.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was. So, I mean, that's.
Oh, that just brought
that's
back
it for
a
the
whole
news. We can stop
another
the news.
Thing.
I know because I mean, if Monica Joan, and if I would do it. All right, we're getting out of here. All right,
of course.
All right, any last thoughts before we go?
Or predictions?
I have no predictions.
I don't really have any
predictions.
I'm so glad the show's back. It's been a long,
welcome. Return.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. Mm. So,
John's like, don't you have any British TV to watch?
Yeah, exactly.
No, Call the Midwife's not back yet.
Exactly. Oh, I do have one prediction. Mm-hmm. The au pair is going to be an old problem.
Oh, yes.
I bet she's going to be cute. Mm-hmm. I think they showed a little bit of her in a clip because she didn't sound like she needed to learn English.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. In the clip. But as soon as she said au pair, like before I saw that clip, I was like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ladies in the house. Yeah. I don't know who is going to be a problem for her, the husband or the son.
I've missed Sheila. You.
Teenage
it's
son.
It's going to be a problem for Sheila. So it's going to be a problem.
Well, it's going to be a problem for Sheila, for sure. Yeah.
Regardless if it's a father.
But who is it going to be the father of the son? We don't know.
All right, great.
But,
All right.
Yeah, we did this episode sober.
Yeah, it's the first time. For the first time in a while.
Relatively sober.
Oh! Uh-huh. Somebody was at the SAG Awards last night, and it is not a dry carpet.
You can't turn down free champagne.
No, you can't.
It's illegal.
It is illegal.
No, it is, especially in Hollywood during award season. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Free champagne.
Yeah, but next week, I'm pretty sure I'm bringing some glug, because I've got some in my fridge.
I'm about that.
On that note,
yeah.
why don't you tell them where they can find you, Courtney?
You can find me all over the Twitters and the Instagrams, at Stuart Starlet.
I am Tamara Berg on Twitter, Tamara A. Berg on Instagram. You can find me.
Yeah, you can only find me here as always. And thank you very much for tuning in. It's a welcome to have you back. And we look forward to talking to you next time.
Thanks, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.